This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. You're now listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Roshan Kunnison. It is now Thursday, January 19th, and I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu.
Today, going into 2023, one of the key concerns was a global recession, and it continues to be the case. Based on a survey that was done at Davos, which is going on right now, the World Economic Forum had a survey which shows, and this is not great news, two-thirds of private and public sector chief economists expect a global recession in 2023.
These kind of stories before the Lunar New Year. Anyway, Reuters reported that some 18% consider a world recession extremely likely, so that's more than twice as many as the previous survey conducted in September 2022. Only one-third of respondents to the survey viewed it as unlikely this year. So definitions of what constitutes recession differ around the world, but basically mean shrinking economies, ultimately due to lower business and consumer spending.
Yeah, because essentially, if businesses start shrinking, which means people are spending less money, whether it's a business or individual, that's how economies shrink. And in fact, we got some data overnight, and Reuters was put this out a little earlier, the wires, that US retail sales fell by the most in December, and this seemed to have been pulled down by declines in purchases of motor vehicles and a range of other goods. All of this basically putting this into question, right? Like putting consumer spending and the overall economy on a weaker growth path heading to 2023.
Right.
Now, that's the US.
That's the US. They don't have Lunar New Year. They don't have Raya. They don't have Deepavali. They don't have all these things.
Anyway. Seasonal spending, Frida. But that's the thing, right? Because December is supposed to be the holiday month as well. So that's, I think, part of the concern there. Because whether the economy shrinks or not, what does sentiment look like? Because if people feel like austerity is the way forward, people may stop spending, which could then lead to a recession in itself. So now, given that consumer spending is essential for many businesses and therefore the economy, today on Enterprise Biz Bites, we turn our attention to the consumer sentiment in Malaysia and maybe ways businesses can adapt to the possibility of falling consumer spending. If you have any thoughts on how businesses can adapt to maybe a fall in demand or how you're adapting as a business, you can let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or over WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. In the meantime, though, we're speaking with Rakesh Mani, partner at PwC Malaysia, who leads the consumer and retail practice across the region. Rakesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Roshan.
So, like I said, Rakesh, just in the introduction, a lot of talk around global recession and the possibility of a depressed consumer sentiment there, made worse by, well, the topic of the year, the last 12 months, has been inflation. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be the recession or possible recession. What insights, because I know PwC has a global survey going ongoing here on consumer insights. What can you share with us from that survey? Are some of these concerns being reflected there?
Sure. Maybe, Roshan, let me just start by telling you a little bit about what this survey is about. Mm-hmm. Right? So a couple times a year, we run a global consumer pulse survey. And we go out and interview about 9,000 to 10,000 consumers all around the world, ask them about their spending behaviors, patterns, sentiment, how they see it changing. And we just ran that in December of last year. So the data is very fresh. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, inflation's quite real. So there was an Asian Development Bank study that said they expect that to tick up by at least a percentage point to 4% this year. And, you know, I think there's a lot of gloom and pessimism around, right? You have in the financial markets, you see an inverted yield curve. people are worried about what's going to happen in 2023. And we see that reflected in the data. In Malaysia in particular, we had about 53% of consumers say that they were quite concerned about their personal financial situation. And that kind of ripples into how they
gonna spend,
how they're going to spend, how they see their priorities in terms of what categories they want to spend on and where they want to pull back. And the way we interpret that is we think there's going to be a deeper search for value in general.
Right. So, of course, this survey that you do, it is, all regions are represented when you say it's a global survey.
Correct.
Right. Okay, so, again, you know, you talk a little bit about Malaysia, but how do the numbers in Malaysia differ from the numbers in region? Similar? Different?
Well, so on the concern with the personal financial situation, we said it was about 53% from Malaysia. It's not too far off in the region. So across Asia-Pac, it's about mid-40s. Okay. So it does seem to be slightly more elevated in Malaysia. Mm. But, you know, the one statistic, Freda, that I think caught me by surprise was about 80% of consumers in Malaysia said that they see themselves cutting back on spending. Mm. 80%. That's a pretty serious number, right? About 16% of them said, we're going to stop non-essential spending altogether.
Wow. Mm.
And the other 64% said, well, we'll still do some of it, but we'll cut back.
Okay.
So, and, you know, 80% from Malaysia, about 65% in APAC.
Right.
So I think the big question will be, well, what constitutes non-essential spending?
Yeah. I was going to say, what's non-essential?
Is Netflix non-essential spending?
Yes. In my household, pretty essential.
Yeah. And, you know, that could be an interesting barometer to see, right? Netflix earnings going over the next few segments because...
That would be a reflection.
That could be a reflection.
Right.
Because a lot of times, previous indicators of consumer strength and sentiment were different. Maybe you looked at the number... In Malaysia, you look at the number of Astro units that are being used or something. But it will be interesting to see whether we see... Netflix numbers or streaming services as a barometer of consumer spending, how that's impacted. That's it. Coming back to Malaysia, some of those numbers you've showed us there are showing people are worried, people are looking to spend less, especially on non-essential goods. What types of businesses do you see most impacted by this going forward?
Well, typically what we've seen in other periods where there's a slowdown, right? You know, you tend to break the consumer world a bit into durables and discretionary, right? And durables tend to be a lot more resilient, but where people find it easiest to pull back is in discretionary categories. Mm. So, you know, whether that's fashion, clothing, alcohol sometimes at the more premium end. Yeah. And, you know, we asked that question in Malaysia as part of our survey. Mm. And we... anticipate seeing the biggest pullbacks in fashion and clothing, footwear, all of that. I mean, about 50% of Malaysian consumers said that's an area that they would pull back.
Right.
Home entertainment, about 46% said, you know, this is an area we'll pull back in. I don't know, Roshan, if Netflix falls into that or not. The other space where we think there may be a little bit of a pullback is consumer electronics, where, you know, again, about 45%. Said that they expect to spend less.
Right.
But, you know, things like groceries.
Yeah.
A lot more the staple day-to-day
the
stuff.
The essentials.
Yes.
Right.
I think there you can probably see a bit more resilience. Mm. But all those things today, as you and I will probably realize as consumers in our private lives, all those things cost a lot more than they did 2 or 3 years
ago.
They
do.
Right. You know, I'd be interested to follow up on that a little bit, Rakesh, because you mentioned basically discretionary items here. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a lot, Frida, about ESG, and not just this year, but in years previous to this as well. And I remember reading, I think, a paper you wrote, was it the last Pulse survey must have been, where I think the note was, a lot of purchase decisions seem to be increasingly driven by ESG factors. Mm-hmm. And it's something we're seeing with surveys in the Gen Z generation as well. Mm-hmm. However, with this, what we're talking about here, are we going to see ESG take a back seat in the eye of the consumer? What do you think?
I don't think so, right? You know, what the data tells us is about 50% of consumers are still influenced by ESG factors in making a purchase.
I think more important, right? If I'm going to spend my money, you know, like these are do I associate with the brand which has better ESG kind of in, I don't know.
Well, but, you know, I think, you know, this is the complexity of the real world, right? When you are concerned about ESG, but you've also got a tighter wallet, how are you going to rank and stack your purchase criteria? Mm. And I think the reality is it may be different across different categories, across different segments of the population.
Right.
I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer. The headline message is it's still important. Okay. But I think it'll play out in different ways.
Right, because I guess this plays into the fact that we are seeing more fragmentation in terms of the demographics, right? Because the rich will probably still continue to spend the way they want to spend. The ESG crowd will continue to spend how they want to spend. But the ones who are impacted, who will probably
feel the pinch the most.
That feel the pinch the most will do what they need to do at the end of the day. We'll be continuing this discussion in a little bit. If you've got any thoughts on any of this, let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio, or get in touch with us on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. As I mentioned, we'll be continuing this conversation with Rakesh Mani, Southeast Asia Consumer Markets Leader at PwC's Strategy Unit, Strategy End. After these messages, you're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. Keep it here at BFM 89.9.
Burden-free Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Roshan Cunnison, joined in the studio by Frida Liu. Today on the show, we're taking a look at consumer sentiment in Malaysia and ways businesses can adapt to the possibility of falling consumer spending. We're doing this with Rakesh Mani, partner at PwC Malaysia, leading the consumer and retail practice across the region. If you just joined us, Rakesh was giving us a lot of the data and some of the data points, including 80% of Malaysians looking to cut down on their expenditures going forward, probably getting some businesses a bit worried, Rakesh. So I guess let's take this down to a bit of strategy and a bit of maybe some tactics going forward.
Sure.
How do you think businesses can prepare ahead for this incoming negative sentiment, right? Is it all going to come down to cost cutting on their parts?
Well, I think firstly, Roshan, there's still a bit of lack of clarity on how the year is going to look, right? And I think in a time when there's not much clarity, the best thing you can do is be flexible, right? And we, you know, what we've been advising a lot of our clients is this is a time for resilience, but also renewal. So it's not just a cost thing, although that's very important. You need to look at your procurement. You need to look at your manufacturing spend. You need to look at your labor costs. All that is really crucial. But at the same time, you want to look at the renewal part. So in this kind of an environment that we're going into, what's the right portfolio of products that I should sell? How should I price it? In what channels? How much do I promote? Right? And that is a little bit more on the revenue and demand and portfolio side. Right. But I think this is a time for bold decisions on some of these topics and not just the usual incremental change, right? Because I think this is quite fundamental.
Okay. And what do you see the kind of businesses that will be able to get through this?
Well, I think it's the ones, that are confident enough to be able to drive transformations that are important to the business. Some of these changes that we're talking about in the cost structure, they require more fundamental realignments in what you sell, how you approach, how you buy, where you sell. A lot of tinkering with the edges may not be sufficient. That's the concern.
All right. So, Rakesh, I know you work a lot in the consumer space. So I'm guessing this would be food and beverage kind of companies as well as more B2C kind of companies.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. So in the ways that businesses can adapt going forward, you said a few things there, including looking at the product and the channels. Could you maybe give us some tangible examples to, let's say I'm running a restaurant or a group or chain of restaurants.
Yeah.
How would I even start going about that process? If I'm doing a bit more of discretionary products, so I'm selling a bit more upmarket food, am I going to have to change my demo?
Well, I think, you know, the way we typically approach this is through a study of elasticities, right? And historical data, there's lots of patterns, right? So you can say, well, if I'm a beverage company and I'm selling in supermarkets or in convenience stores, do I want to sell more 2-liter bottles? Do I want to sell more 200 ml packs? And what's the price, what's the optimal price gap to have in between those so that it drives trial behaviors, it also drives repeat purchase behaviors, and all of that is different in different channels. So it tends to be quite mathematical sometimes. And then on the promotion side, you know, again, this is another really cool Malaysian statistic, right? Malaysian consumers, 61% of Malaysian consumers said, well, given all of this stuff that's happening, I'm more likely to buy things if they're on promotion. So
yes.
I think, you know, it goes back to this whole theme of searching for value. So as a business, you think, well, how deeply do I want to promote? In what channels do I want to promote? How often do I want to promote, right? And I think it all costs money, right? So I think businesses are saying, well, where do I want to deploy those dollars?
So this is interesting because I guess at every point, you know, the pandemic pushed businesses to go digital, right? To work from home. And a lot of times going into those digital channels may be more efficient, right? In terms of a cost structure, you don't have to worry about so many different elements, or at least you're letting the platform handle that. Do you, based on the work you guys have done, do you see a bigger, I mean, not like digital hasn't already been pushed, but from a digital distribution point of view, are we going to see that become more important or even more important in the next year?
What do you mean by digital distribution?
So if I'm an F&B platform and I want to sell food, am I going to have to use more digital advertising venues instead to better target the audience I want, for example?
I think so, right? I think that digital marketing has been where people are becoming aware of brands, making decisions on what they're going to buy, price comparing as well. I think a lot of that happens more digitally today than before. And consumers for a long time have wanted more seamless shopping experiences online, offline. I don't think a lot of that's going to change. What worries me is that I think businesses are coming under pressure on a lot of different fronts.
Yeah.
You've got consumers saying, we're going to search for value. You've got costs going up at the same time. You know, in our experience, roughly over the last couple of years, we've seen the cost base go up anywhere between 20 to 40%. And the pricing, probably just half that, right? So margins under pressure.
Yeah. And I think so, maybe like just like further to your point and how you got to get better with your data analytics in terms of targeting to your customers and making sure you're speaking to the right people. Of course, that takes money too.
Sure.
But I think this is the time to be smart about how you speak to your customers with the right promos.
Well, so a lot of the work that we're doing now then, Freda, is, this is exactly as you described. This is our reality now. And we've got to make investments to unlock value. Where should we best do that? What's going to give me the best bang for my investment dollar? And that's where we're doing advising a lot of clients at the moment.
Yeah, I guess it comes back to a conversation, whether you're a small business or a big business. And that, you know, that stat about how margins are being compressed, right? Because one, prices are going up. Yeah, sure. Because of the input costs have come up and maybe that's stabilized now. But the amount that you can charge your customer at the end of the day is also now is more sensitive.
Yeah.
Right. What realistically here for the smaller business, the bigger business maybe has a bit more levers to pull in terms of managing this, right? Maybe a bit more digital transformation, maybe
more money.
I mean, you know, there's so much talk around layoffs, Rakesh. And I think there was a PwC Global CEO survey that showed that Malaysian CEOs don't seem at this point, 70% don't think they want to lay off over the next year. With so many factors impacting them, what is the realistic way forward for a lot of these businesses?
Well, I think it's, you know, it starts with telling your story, what your company stands for, what your brand stands for. And I think a lot of what we see is that there's a greater emphasis on the revenue line, which comprises what's the right portfolio of products that I should sell? Are there some segments that I may want to get out of, some geographies, some product segments? And then within the ones that I still play in, how do I price? How do I tell my story? How do I package things better? You know, what we call price pack architecture. Do I sell more smaller packs, bigger packs, jumbo packs? Do I promote more, discount more, less? In which channels? I think there's a lot of analytics and thinking that's going to go into a lot of that beyond just the cost side of it.
Okay, I've got to bring up China, right? Because Bloomberg noted in a recent article that China's sudden reopening is set to offer a boost to a flagging world economy. They're back. Are you expecting this to have a tangible impact on consumer spending here in Malaysia?
I think it's a big deal.
Oh, yes.
I think it's a big deal. I think from what we've seen over the years, the Chinese consumer, but particularly the Chinese traveler, is a very, very important component of demand to a lot of key segments, in particular, you know, travel retail.
Right.
The confectionery business, the beverage alcohol business, the beauty and cosmetics business.
The durian business.
So I think you're seeing a lot of players in those segments starting to get a bit excited, but also starting to realize that they kind of need to prepare for that. You need more people in the store. You need to think about the assortment of products that you have. You need to make sure that your inventories are in place. So there's a bit of work to get prepared for it. But yeah, I think it's a you know, a ray of light.
I think it was a UOB event, like 20% of the world's economy, right? I mean, that's their contribution when they're out there, right? So,
but you know, on the other side, I was reading a report from a Swiss travel agency, and they said, we don't think in Asia travel will get back to pre-pandemic levels for another 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, that's the concern, right? Because while there may be demand, are the flights going to be coming in as before? You know, Rakesh, speaking of like ray of lights, let's wrap up on this note then. Do you guys see any silver linings ahead when it comes to consumer sentiments? And I know we've talked a lot about how businesses can adapt on the defensive, but a lot of times this could also lead to other opportunities for them to come up with new business lines. Do you see any opportunities ahead for different business segments?
Well, I think this is one of those key times, right, where you can spend the time and energy to fundamentally rethink how you're going to go about your business, where you're going to sell, what you're going to do, how are you going to tell your story to your consumers, right? And I, you know, judging from past slowdowns, I think businesses that are able to go the hard yards to ask themselves the tough questions, reinvent a little bit, it's a lot more in the zeitgeist of what's happening in the economy and what chief executives are talking about today. So I do think there'll be silver linings for a lot of businesses who are able to capitalize on that.
All right, Rakesh, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Rakesh Mani, Southeast Asia Consumer Markets Leader at PwC's Strategy End. And if you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my or download the BFM app. After the 1 p.m. news bulletin, we've got the Breakfast Grill, and we're taking a look at semiconductors, because the semiconductor market enjoyed a massive run-up in orders during the pandemic, sending sales and prices to new highs. But with macroeconomic headwinds ahead, semiconductor industry sales are projected to fall 4.1% in 2023. Talking about consumer sentiment and spending, this might be one problem there. So with the UN, on top of that, you have the US imposing a ban on the sale of high-end semiconductor chips to China. So what does this all mean for the worldwide semiconductor industry? Well, to find out, you can catch the Breakfast Grill. That's happening after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Frida Liu in the studio this afternoon, and you've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.